Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the United States Naval Academy Men's Glee Club under the direction of Dr. Aaron Smith.
Slight pause now. We have just
Please
heard
welcome our distinguished guests to the stage.
Pipes and drums of the Dallas.
Led by the chairman of the 50th Commemorative Committee for the City of Dallas, Mrs. Ruth Collins Altshuler. The Most Reverend Bishop, Kevin J. Farrell of the Catholic Diocese of Dallas. The Mayor of Dallas, the Honorable Mike Rawlings. David McCullough. And Pastor Emeritus of the St. Luke's Community United Methodist Church, Zan W. Holmes, Jr. Thank you.
Still faintly hearing the Dallas Police Department Honorary Color Guard and Dallas Metro Police pipes and drums. Next up, we will hear the national anthem from Monica Saldivar. She is a graduate of Booker T. Washington High School for the Visual and Performing Arts here in Dallas last year.
And now, we ask you to please rise for the presentation of the colors by the Dallas Police Department Honor Guard.
Shelley, will you tell us what you are seeing? I suppose the honor guard is the color guard is making its way toward the front of the facility.
Yes, they are. There are five members of the color guard, I believe. They are dressed in their best uniforms and white gloves. They're carrying an American flag, a Texas flag, and a third flag with the Texas symbol on it. They have now approached the podium where our speakers and presenters are. And everybody has their hand over their heart. I think we're getting ready to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please remain standing for the national anthem, performed by Monica Saldivar.
Oh, say, can you see? Dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets rang aloud, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave?
Please be seated. Today's invocation is presented by the Most Reverend Bishop Kevin J. Farrell of the Catholic Diocese of Dallas.
Almighty and ever faithful God, today we lift up our minds and hearts to you because you, Lord, have lifted us up from the horrible tragedy enacted in this place, from the cruel suffering that was born on this hill, from the shock and horror that gripped our nation, and from the years when we as citizens of this city suffered and were implicated by the gun shot by one man that killed a president in whom many of us had set our hopes and dreams for a better America. It was your abiding inspiration and active presence among us, Lord, that moved us ever forward despite the temptation only to lament and to be paralyzed by our grief. You turned our sorrow into a firm commitment to move forward. You turned our grief into a resolve to refashion our city to a place where life flourishes and true love abounds. You turned our devastation to a commitment to rebuild here the city of God, a city where all are welcomed, nurtured, and cared for. We rejoice with gratitude in all that you have caused to happen here in a place which was disgraced, scorned, and ruthlessly judged by ourselves and others. May you, Heavenly Father, continue to sustain us as we celebrate that the phoenix has risen from the ashes of violence, that hatred can be turned to harmony, that ignorance can cede to understanding, that prejudice can lead to openness. Make us instruments of your peace and bearers of divine justice that always tempers instinct with mercy, that changes what appears to be defeat to the reality fed by providence that all will be well. Lord, may you walk always with us. May you inspire us as you once inspired President John Fitzgerald Kennedy to dream of a world that never was and to say, why not? May God bless the United States of America.
And now, please welcome the Mayor of Dallas, the Honorable Mike Rawlings.
A new era dawned and another waned a half a century ago when hope and hatred collided right here in Dallas. We watched the nightmarish reality that in our front yard, our president had been taken from us, taken from his family, taken from the world. John Fitzgerald Kennedy's presidency, his life, and yes, his death, seemed to mythologically usher in the next 50 years. What ensued was 5 decades filled with other tragedies, turmoil, and great triumphs. We were all very young. Our lives, our hopes, and dreams in front of us. Dallas was very young as well. Barely a century old. And given the nature of youth, we all felt invincible. Well, it seems that we all grew up that day, city and citizens, and suddenly we had to step up to trying to live up to the challenges of the words and visions of a beloved president. Our collective hearts were broken. Like so many of us who were too young to fully comprehend, I remember being called into the school gymnasium, hearing the terrible news and told to go home. Stunned civic leaders at the trademark luncheon awaited a president who would never arrive. Crowds prayed outside Parkland Hospital. Traffic stopped in cities across the country as news spread from car to car. And the world grieved with us. Newspapers reported that flags were lowered to half-staff around the globe. Germans on both sides of the Berlin Wall placed lit candles in their windows. An 8-year-old Nigerian girl recited the entire inaugural address from memory as her father wept, just like the skies today. While the past is never in the past, this was a lifetime ago. Now, today, we the people of Dallas honor the life, legacy, and leadership of the man who called us to think not of our own interest, but of our country's. We give thanks for his life and his service. We offer condolences to his family, especially his daughter Caroline, on this difficult day. We pay tribute to an idealist without illusions who helped build a more just and equal world. We salute a commander-in-chief who stared down a nuclear threat to this country. We praise a writer who profiled true courage and modeled it himself. We applaud a visionary who created a core of young Americans to promote peace around the globe. We stand in awe of a dreamer who challenged us to literally reach for the moon, though he himself would not live to see us achieve that goal. Other goals were even tougher, have taken longer to reach, and we, the United States, still struggle towards some even as we speak, as do we here in Dallas. But we're fortified by the knowledge that we have always had big goals and big aspirations in this city, set by our founding fathers like John Neely Bryan and George Dealey, the namesake of this plaza, re-energized by Eric Johnson, the mayor who led Dallas in the post-assassination years. These 5 decades have seen us turn civic heartbreak into hard work. They've seen us go from youthful invincibility to existential vulnerability to greater maturity as a city and a community. On the 1-year anniversary of the assassination of the late Rabbi Levi Olin of Temple Emmanuel, one of our city's greatest spiritual leaders, gave voice to Dallas's communal pain unleashed on that day. Rabbi Olin said then, quote, "Contrary to the impassioned judgment of that horrible moment, the city is not guilty of the crime. But in those awesome days following the assassination, the most powerful searchlight man possesses was focused on this city. Every flaw, every raw spot, every wrinkle, and every uncleanness was put under a microscope and shown to the world." He continued, "The city of rich palaces and tall towers of commerce were set amidst slums and hovels. As the powerful light shone upon it, the city, it was learned, had been inhospitable to honorable debate," end quote. Rabbi Olin captured the heartbreak and hurt the city felt. He stated plainly the defects and failings that were laid bare before the entire world. But most important, he called for Dallas to use this tragedy to seek a true transformation. Look around today. I believe we have heeded that call. The people of this city have been filled with a sense of industry born of tragedy, driven to improve the substance of Dallas, not just the image of it. Today, because of the hard work of many people, Dallas is a different city. I believe the new frontier did not end that day on our Texas frontier. And I hope that President Kennedy would be pleased with our humble efforts towards fulfilling our country's highest calling, that of providing the opportunity for all citizens to exercise those inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The city of Dallas will continue on that course. The man we remember today gave us a gift that will not be squandered. He and our city will forever be linked. In tragedy, yes, but out of that tragedy, an opportunity was granted to us. The chance to learn how to face the future when it's the darkest and the most uncertain. How to hold high the torch even when the flame flickers and threatens to go out. As the people of Dallas did then, each of us will meet our oncoming challenges head on with courage, honoring, but not living in the past, and never, never flinching from the truth. We will meet the future with the same vigor, optimism, and unfailing sense of duty that our young president embodied. President Kennedy brought us that message. In his pocket, down that street, on November 22nd, 1963. That message was to be delivered a few miles away in a speech to Dallas leaders following his parade. It was a speech he never got to make. But those unspoken words resonate far beyond the life of the man. To commemorate that day and those words, we are unveiling a memorial right here in this historic plaza. It is inscribed with the last lines of his undelivered speech and will serve as a reminder and a permanent monument to President Kennedy's memory. I leave you with those resonant words. We in this country, in this generation, are by destiny rather than choice the watchmen on the walls of world freedom. We ask, therefore, that we may be worthy of our power and our responsibility, that we may exercise our strength with wisdom and restraint, and that we may achieve in our time and for all time the ancient vision of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That must always be our goal, and the righteousness of our cause must always underlie our strength. For as was written long ago, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Ladies and gentlemen, would you join me in a moment of silence in honor of the life of John Fitzgerald Kennedy?
You are listening to the U.S. Naval Academy Men's Glee Club singing live in Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas today to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy, of course, served in the U.S. Navy with high honors during World War II, earning several awards for his service, including the Navy and Marine Corps medals and a Purple Heart. Up next in the program today will be David McCullough, the Pulitzer Prize-winning presidential historian.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. David McCullough.
He spoke to us in that now distant time past with a vitality and sense of purpose such as we had never heard before. He was young to be president, but it didn't seem so if you were younger still. He was ambitious to make it a better world, and so were we. "Let the world go forth," he said, "that the torch has passed to a new generation of Americans." It was an exciting time. He talked of all that needed to be done, of so much that mattered: equal opportunity, unity of purpose, education, the life of the mind and the spirit, art, poetry, service to one's country, and the courage to move forward into the future, the cause of peace on earth. His was the inspiring summons to serve, to hard work and worthy accomplishment, a summons we long for. He was an optimist, and he said so, but there was nothing, no sidestepping reality in what he said, no resorting to stale old platitudes. He spoke to the point and with confidence. He knew words matter. His words changed lives. His words changed history. Rarely has a commander-in-chief addressed the nation with such command of language. Much that he said applies now no less than half a century ago and will continue, let us hope, to be taken to heart far into the future. "Gone but not forgotten" is the old expression for departed heroes. But if not forgotten, they are not gone. On this day especially, and at this place, let us listen again to some of what John F. Kennedy said. "The new frontier of which I speak is not a set of promises. It is a set of challenges. It sums up not what I intend to offer the American people, but what I intend to ask them. This nation was founded by men of many nations and backgrounds. It was founded on the principle that all men are created equal, and the rights of every man are diminished when the rights of one man are threatened. The heart of the question is whether we are going to treat our fellow Americans as we want to be treated. We must educate our children as our most valuable resource. We must have trained people, many trained people, their finest talents brought to the keenest edge. We must have not only scientists, mathematicians, technicians, we must have people skilled in the humanities. I look forward to an America which will reward achievement in the arts as we reward achievement in business or statecraft. I look forward to an America which commands respect throughout the world, not only for its strength, but for its civilization. This country cannot afford to be materially rich and spiritually poor. Art is the great unifying and humanizing experience. The life of the arts, far from being an interruption, a distraction in the life of a nation, is very close to the center of a nation's purpose. And it is the test of the quality of a nation's civilization. I am certain that after the dust of centuries has passed over our cities, we too will be remembered not for our victories or defeats in battle or in politics, but for our contributions to the human spirit. If more politicians knew poetry and more poets knew politics, I am convinced the world would be a little better place to live. When power leads men towards arrogance, poetry reminds him of his limitations. When power narrows the areas of man's concern, poetry reminds him of the richness and diversity of his existence. When power corrupts, poetry cleanses, for art establishes the basic human truth which must serve as the touchstone of our judgment. Together, let us explore the stars, conquer the deserts, eradicate disease, tap the ocean depths. Those who came before us made certain that this country, rode the first waves of the Industrial Revolution, the first waves of modern invention, the first waves of nuclear power. And this generation does not intend to founder in the backwash of the coming age of space. We mean to be part of it. We set sail on this new sea because there is to be a new knowledge gained and new rights to be won, and they must be won and used for the progress of all people. But why, some say, the moon? Why choose this as our goal? We choose to go to the moon in this decade and to do the other things not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one we are willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one which we intend to win. The goal of a peaceful world is our guide for the present and our vision for the future. The quest is the greatest adventure of our century. We sometimes chafe at the burden of our obligations, the complexity of our decisions, the agony of our choices. But there is no comfort or security in evasion, no solution in abdications, no relief in irresponsibility. The problems of the world cannot be possibly solved by skeptics or cynics, whose horizons are limited by the obvious realities. We need men who can dream of things that never were, and ask, why not? Those things that we talk about today which seem unreal, where so many people doubt that they can be done, the fact of the matter is, it has been true all through our history, they will be done. Again and again, John Kennedy's words are fired with his love of life, his love of his country and its history. He read history, he wrote history, and he understood that history was not just about times past, but also about those who populate the present. each new generation, as he liked to say, and that we too will be judged by history. And that we owe it to those who went before, those who will follow, to measure up, and yes, even surpass the achievements of the past with what we accomplish and with the values we hold dear. He also knew from his reading and from experience that very little of consequence is ever accomplished alone, but by joint effort. America has been a joint effort all down the years, and we must continue in that spirit. As he himself said, "For I can assure you that we love our country not for what it was, though it has always been great, not for what it is, though we are deeply proud, but what it someday can, and through the efforts of us all, someday will be." As his campaign song said, he had high hopes, and so do we, and on we go.
That was David McCullough, the Pulitzer Prize-winning historian, delivering remarks and also referring back to the unspoken speech that John F. Kennedy was scheduled to give at the Trademark that day 50 years ago. Next, we'll hear from the Reverend Zan W. Holmes, Pastor Emeritus of St. Luke United Methodist Church in Dallas. After we hear from the U.S. Naval Academy Men's Glee Club.
Trampling out the vintage well.
That was the U.S. Naval Academy Men's Glee Club singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Our closing prayer will be delivered by Pastor Emeritus of the St. Luke's Community United Methodist Church, Zan W. Holmes, Jr.
Let us pray. O God, I hope in ages past and our hope for years to come. Send us forth to claim the brand new future that you continue to offer us beyond our tragedies and our triumphs. And as we go forth, grant that we may not be centered on where we have been or on what we have done, but on where we're going and what is possible by your grace for us to become a beloved community, which celebrates and affirms our unity in the midst of our God-given diversity. And in the challenging words of a Franciscan benediction, may God bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that we may live deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace for all. And may God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And may God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in this world, so that we can do together what others claim cannot be done. And so in this season of Thanksgiving, we humbly ask these blessings in the name of the one God who created us all for the sake of a beloved community, and in thanksgiving to God for the inspiring and courageous life and legacy of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Amen and amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand as we retire the colors.
The audience on their feet in Dealey Plaza as the color guard exits the stage. We have heard, and we are hearing once again from the U.S. Naval Academy Men's Glee Club. U.S. Naval Academy Men's Glee Club there singing the Navy hymn. Of course, John F. Kennedy served in the U.S. Navy during World War II. We go back once again now to KERA's Shelley Koffler, who is live in Dealey Plaza. And Shelley, it has been an emotional and yet, I would say, subdued ceremony today.
Yes, I think that's correct. I think, you know, the city's goal with this was to honor the memory of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, to acknowledge that something tragic happened here, but also to say we'll never forget, we are going to look forward, and this does not live only in the shadows. Dallas does not live only in the shadows But it looks forward to the future, and I think that's what the mayor was trying to say in his speech, that perhaps we have learned from the past, we're a better city as we move forward. I thought some of the words, Chris, were truly beautiful, spoken by the people on the stage today. The mayor spent a long time working on this speech. He says he started in January, and he has called this the most important speech of his lifetime. He talked about the day that hope and hatred collided 50 years ago, then went on to talk about how we should never forget the past, and we should pay tribute to the fallen president, but that we should hold high the torch, and even though the flame may appear to flicker, we should not let it go out. I thought he just really had some beautiful phrases. The bishop that spoke Kevin Farrell, had some very fine words that he spoke. He said, hatred can be turned into harmony. Mm. We see now that the people are exiting the stage, and the visitors, the dignitaries, are also leaving. So I think we are closing here at Dealey Plaza, and most people will be exiting very soon.
And indeed, Shelley, the closing prayer was delivered by the Reverend Zan Holmes Jr. 50 years ago. We didn't hear from this from him earlier, but he was at the Trademark 50 years ago awaiting the president's speech at a luncheon there.
I'm Zan Holmes from Dallas, Texas. I was one of those invited to have dinner at the Trademark, and that is where President Kennedy was to speak. He was on his way there. I remember when I walked into the Trademark, I did not begin to eat because someone got up and announced that the president had been shot, killed. And the thing that I remember was all of the food that was left on the table. I had never seen so much food left over anywhere in all of my life. We needed some soul food, some food for our spirits, because we were stripped of our pride and our pretension and our prejudice. One of the greatest tragedies that we experience in life is not so much as, the tragedy of President Kennedy, but the tragedy of unlearned lessons. It's what have we learned from that experience? Have we been good stewards of the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy? I do believe that God does not want us to waste any experience that has happened. And I believe if we don't grow through what we're going through, life will check our transcripts and send us back to repeat the course.
That was the Reverend Zan Holmes Jr. who delivered the closing prayer at today's commemoration for the John F. Kennedy 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination. The one thing that didn't happen today was the Centex wing of the Commemorative Air Force performing the missing man formation salute that was canceled due to inclement weather conditions. If you've never seen it before, the missing man formation is this V-shaped formation in which the flight leader is at the point, his wingman is on his left, the second element leader and his wingman fly to his right, and then fly low so they can be clearly seen. The second element leader abruptly pulls out of formation while the rest continue on. The U.S. adopted that tradition in 1838 from the British. But Shelley Koffler, everything else today essentially went off as planned and very nicely so.
I think so, Chris, and I think it went very smoothly. I think they had to adapt to the weather, but as the mayor said, it wouldn't be Dallas's way not to have gone on with this and to have this today. The city has never had a commemoration of this day, and they felt that it was extremely important to do it now, while many of the people who were young and who remember the president visiting here, who were indeed part of that visit, that they're still living and that they could take part in this commemoration. I think that when they do a little post-mortem on this event, they will say that it was a success, and hopefully they will believe that it achieved some of what Dallas had hoped to achieve and the message that it hoped to send to the world.
And 5,000 tickets were given to members of the public via a lottery, and it looks as if most of those individuals who were given tickets, Shelley, did in fact find their way downtown today for the ceremonies.
You know, I think so, Chris. It's hard to do a crowd estimate because this was not extremely regimented. A lot of people were standing. We did see them move the crowd forward at one point to fill in an area and allow them to be closer. There may have been a few people who didn't attend who had tickets, but it appears that most people braved the weather and decided this was an important enough occasion for them to attend, even though there was a little bit of rain.
And what's the mood now as people are filing out? Is it a sort of, are people breathing a sort of sigh of relief?
I think they're just feeling good that they spent this time thinking about a president who clearly, 50 years hence, is still extremely important and popular throughout the world. One of our colleagues today was telling me some recent poll has been taken, and 90% approval rating for President Kennedy 50 years hence. I can't think of any president who's ever had an approval rating of 90%. But, you know, people love John Kennedy, and they like to believe that his messages and his words and his deeds live on.
Well, Shelley Koffler, thank you so much for being with us. You've been listening to KERA's coverage of the 50th Remembering John F. Kennedy, live from Dealey Plaza in Dallas. I'm Chris Boyd. We appreciate you listening and being with us. You're listening to 90.1 KERA, Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, and at KERA.org.